Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Lord Krishna Fights with Banasura, text number 27. Nanabhavai Leela Yaiva Papanaira. Nana bhai bhai lila yaiva. I'll try that. Lila yaiva. Nana bhava lila yaiva papanaya.
Nana bhai lila yaiva papanaya.
Devan sudhun loka setun vibhashi.
Devan sudhun loka setun
vibhashi. Devan sudhun loka setun vibhashi.
Devan sudhun.
Hams yun magan himsaya vatmanam.
Hams yun magan himsaya
vatmanam. Janmai tate bara hara haraya bhume. Nana, various, bhavai, with intentions, lilaya, as pastimes, eva, indeed, upapanai, assumed, devan, the demigods, sadhun, the saintly sages, loka, of the world, setun, the codes of religion, vibhashi, you maintain, amsi, you kill, upmagan,
those who stray beyond the path.
Himsaya,
by violence,
vatamanan, living, ganma, birth, etat, this, te, your, bhara, the burden, haraya, to relieve, bhume, of the earth. Translation in purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. With various intentions, you perform pastimes to maintain the demigods, the saintly persons, and the codes of religion for this world. By these pastimes, you also kill those who stray from the right path and live by violence. Indeed, your present incarnation is meant to relieve the earth's burden. Purport. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29, Samoham Savabhuteshu Nama Dvesho Stina Priya Ye Bhajanti Tumam Bhakya Mayi Teteshu Chapiyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The demigods and sages, Devan Sadhun, are dedicated to executing the will of the Supreme Lord. The demigods act as cosmic administrators, and the sages, by their teachings and their good example, illumine the path of self-realization and holiness. But those who transgress the natural law, the law of God, and live by committing violence against others are vanquished by the Supreme Lord in his various pastime incarnations. As the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11, Yayata Mam Pravajante Tam Stataiva Bhajam Yaham. He is impartial, but he responds appropriately to the actions of the living beings. Omagana Chimanandasyajananjanasha Lakaya Chaksho Umitam Yanatasma Shri Guru Venamaha. Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shiva Sare Gauravakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With various intentions, you perform pastimes to maintain the demigods, the saintly persons, and the codes of religion for this world. By these pastimes, you also kill those who stray from the right path and live by violence. Indeed, your present incarnation is meant to relieve the earth's burden. So this is some very nice, quite elevated prayers that the Shiva Jwara weapon of Lord Shiva is offering to, as prayers of submission to Lord Krishna. Obviously realising his subordinate position in relationship to that of Lord Krishna. And these very nice prayers he's offering exemplify his realisations very nicely. And in particular with today's prayer he's offering, he's explaining the reason for the Lord's appearance in the material realm. So there are different, well, the word used for when Krishna appears in the material realm obviously is avatar. So avatar meaning one who descends, or one who appears in the material world. Many different sorts of avatars. Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Manvanta avatars, Shaktivesh avatars, Purusha avatars, many different sorts of avatars. So Krishna is very, out of all of those different sorts of avatars, is obviously very significant because he's the original source from which all the other avatars stem from. Advaita, Machuta, Ananda, Ananta Rupam, as is explained in the Brahma Samhita, that there are many unlimited forms coming from the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, Krishna is the original source of all of these. So, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita why he comes into the material world for. He explains that, whenever there is an increase in irreligion and a decrease in religion, then he will appear in this realm. So 5,000 years ago, when Lord Krishna appeared in his original Swayam Bhagavan form, as we understand, the earth was overburdened with unnecessary military strength. We know the story of the 10th canto, how Mother Bhumi went to the demigods and went to Lord Brahma and said, what's going on? The earth is overburdened with so much military strength. What to do? I'm overburdened. I'm overwhelmed. She's saying this with tears in her eyes, invoking the compassionate mood of Lord Brahma. So the demigods approached the ocean of milk and prayed to Vishnu, and then Vishnu revealed to Lord Brahma that he will be appearing very soon, so therefore the demigods should start taking birth in the earth realm. So this is why Krishna comes for. One of the reasons, there's different reasons why Krishna appears for or sends one of his incarnations. Krishna also explains that not only when there's an increase in irreligion and a decrease in religion, but also he explains the verse following it in the Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit, to enliven the pious, Vinasha Duskritam, to deliver the miscreants, and to re-establish religious principles, then he appears millennium after millennium. So those are the three reasons: to enliven the devotees, to annihilate miscreants, and re-establish religious principles. So out of all of those three reasons, the main primary reasons explained by the acharyas is so Krishna can reciprocate with his devotees. And this reciprocation obviously comes in the form of appearing in the realm and manifesting his Vrindavan pastimes, because it's explained that the pious entities are attracted to Krishna, and Krishna's pure devotees are actually always hankering and always feeling separation, anxious to see Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. So this is how Krishna is reciprocating with his pure devotees. That's the primary reason why Krishna comes for. Like the Shiva Dwara is explaining here that you also kill those who stray from the right path and live by violence. Indeed, your present incarnation is meant to relieve the earth's burden. So that's one of the reasons why Krishna had come for, is to relieve the earth's burden. But of course, Krishna doesn't have to personally come to relieve the earth's burden of unwanted military strength. He can do this many ways. Either he can come himself, as he has done 5,000 years ago. He may send one of his representatives to do that, or he can even just use the material energy to rid the earth's overburden of unwanted entities who are causing so many problems. And we can see now in Kali Yuga, that is one of the primary ways that Krishna is actually getting rid of unwanted, you know, disturbances on the earth's planet, simply through the material energy, using the material energy, causing various natural calamities and disturbances for living entities who are rebelling against the law of God. So there are reactions for people or entities, civilizations, societies which do not act or live according to the laws of God. And the laws of God, we know, are set, or the standards are set by Krishna himself. That famous verse in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhamma tu sakshat Bhagavat pranitam, that the laws of God, or the codes of religion, come from Bhagavan himself. So religion isn't a man-made concoction. Religious principles actually have to be set by the Supreme Lord himself. And obviously those codes of religion, or those standards of behaviour, taught and educated by the Brahminical class, or by the sages and the saintly people, as explained here in the purport, that the sages, by their teachings and a good example, illumine the path of self-realisation and holiness. So the sages and brahmanas are representative of the will of the Supreme Lord, and they follow that will through their own example, and also educate others in the proper goal of human life and the proper codes of human conduct and human civilization. But as we can see in Kali Yuga, that these principles of religion are very covered over. Very, very covered over. People don't really have any education or proper understanding or example to follow of how to use the human form of life for its fullest potential, which is obviously self-realization, becoming God-conscious. Kali Yuga has so many distractions to deviate people from the path of proper conduct. And we don't have to go into great detail, but I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on out there. So that's the real lack in this age of Kali, is proper education. And Prabhupada would say that real education begins with understanding, you know, what is matter and what is spirit, and who is controlling both those energies. So this is proper religious education. Religion doesn't, as you see in Kali Yuga, that people mistake religion for being a set of beliefs, or just like people think religion is very sentimental. Prabhupada would say that religion without philosophy is a sentiment. So we can see now that people who present themselves as being religious, generally following the religion without really any proper knowledge of what the goal of it is, or else the reason for following it is to get some material reward. People think that religion is to get, you be religious and you be pious so you can get some nice results or nice things from God. But we understand that it's a very karma kun sort of mentality, that you'll be religious as long as you're getting something in return for it. But real religious principles are actually to teach pure love of Godhead. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about, is how to bring people to the stage of pure love of Godhead, free of everything else, free of karma, free of speculation, karma and jnana, free of all these things. So this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is there to educate people about. There's a very, very high standard of education and spiritual teachings. Very, very high standard. It's why it's difficult for people to accept some of the principles discussed within the Bhagavatam, because they're coming from a very, very high level. Like Prabhupada gives an example in the Bhagavad Gita how in mathematics you have a basic equation of 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that equation stays the same at very basic levels of mathematics and very advanced levels of mathematics. So a teacher of God consciousness will teach the basic principles of religion, but according to time, place and circumstance, according to the capacity of people's understanding. But at the same time, we have to understand there are very basic levels of, you know, religious codes and conducts, and very advanced levels of it as well. So in Kali Yuga, people's understanding of religion is very, very simple, very, very basic. You know, like in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. Or the don't do's and don'ts. So that's very, very basic codes of human conduct. But there are higher levels just beyond 10 basic commandments of how to conduct yourself as a human being. There are higher levels of understanding. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is about. It's there to expand and take to the highest principles of spiritual realization. So a very advanced level of knowledge and understanding. And to understand it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be, you know, a university professor or a university graduate, but it's actually understood through devotion. That's how the Bhagavatam is understood or revealed to you, through devotion, which is one of the points which is being emphasized here, that Krishna reciprocates with the intent of the devotee. Now, Krishna is actually reciprocating with everybody. Krishna isn't just reciprocating with devotees, but he's reciprocating with everybody according to their desires. Like we can see with the karmis, people are wanting some nice results for their fruitive activities. Krishna reciprocates with them. He gives them the results of their activities. They're wanting nice house, money, wealth, and all these things, so Krishna will give. The jnanis are wanting freedom from material energy and realization of the impersonal Brahman, so Krishna will give that to them. Krishna's devotees are wanting darshan of Krishna, so Krishna will give that to his pure devotees. So this is Krishna's mercy upon everybody, that Krishna is reciprocating with everybody's desire. So the path of meditation and yoga is to bring one to that point of only desiring Krishna, only desiring service to Krishna. That is actually the goal of all yogic paths, all meditative paths, is to attain the darshan of Krishna. And Krishna will reciprocate with those who are qualified to see him. We understand that Krishna is a person, and Krishna has a system by which he has to be approached. So if one isn't prepared to follow Krishna's system, then Krishna won't reveal himself to you. So the Bhagavatam is showing us the system of how to approach Krishna, and giving very, very wonderful examples of people who have followed Krishna's system and have actually realized Krishna and had darshan of Krishna. So this is the essence really of all religious pathways, is to attain darshan of Krishna, to attain the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that if you want to have my darshan, or want to see me, or have my reciprocation, then you have to surrender to me. It's as simple as that. Surrender to Krishna. So what does surrendering to Krishna actually entail doing? What does it mean? It means humbly paying one's obeisances to the Lord, and also accepting instructions from the Lord's devotees. That's what it actually means to surrender to the Lord, is you take shelter of Krishna's devotees and take instruction from them. And through following Krishna's system this way, like he explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Tad Vidi Paro Pratena Paro Prashnana Sevaya Upadakshinti Teganam Ganinas Tapadashnaha, that if you approach Krishna through this way, through his devotee, then he will reveal himself to you. Because by surrendering to the devotees of Lord Krishna, then they can give you instruction about how to serve Krishna properly, how to please Krishna, because the devotees of Krishna know how to please him. They know what Krishna's will is. So by following the instructions given by Krishna's devotees through the Sadhu Sangha, we engage in bhajana kriya, we engage in devotional service. And through the devotional service, then the heart becomes purified of all the unwanted things within it. And then when the heart is clean and pure, then Krishna can reside within the heart. And then Krishna explains that in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that when the heart is clear and when one is rendering service with affection to him, then he removes all of the darkness of ignorance from within the heart with the shining lamp of knowledge as the super soul. So Krishna is reciprocating at all times. But that degree of reciprocation will intensify according to the purity of the consciousness of the devotee. So all of Krishna's incarnations appearing in this realm merely simply to attract us to them. Just like when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he came with all of his Vrindavan associates and was manifesting all of his Vrindavan Leela. So it was very, very attractive to all of the devotees of Krishna. Because when Krishna was present, not everybody realized who Krishna actually was. But those who knew who Krishna's nature, that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, they were completely enlivened. Like we see that at the famous pastime, I think when Uddhava went to visit Vrindavan, and he could see the devotion of all of the Dhanvasis, and he's completely enlivened by it. And this was Krishna's mercy, that he allowed Uddhava to go and see, have darshan of this exemplary bhakti that the residents in Vrindavan had for Krishna. So completely enlivening for Uddhava. Very, very special mercy upon Uddhava that he was able to see this devotion that the residents in Vrindavan had for him. So just as Krishna has a reason for appearing, then all of Krishna's incarnations also have reasons as well. It's explained that with various intentions you perform pastimes to maintain the demigods. So Krishna has different intentions when he appears. Obviously Krishna is to appear to enliven his devotees, but also all of Krishna's incarnations will have an intention, just like we see with Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisimhadev, that Lord Nrisimhadev appeared with the intention of protecting his devotee Prahlad, because the nature of demons is that they like to harass the devotees. Even if the devotee is born in the same family of the demons. And we can see Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of Hiranyakashipu, who is one of the biggest demons ever. One of the great demons of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Hiranyakashipu, so demoniac, liked to torture, persecute and harass his own son, because his son was a devotee of the Lord. So Lord Nrisimhadev, wanting to protect his great devotee Prahlad, appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu and protect Prahlad. So when we read about all of the different avatars, they all are appearing with a specific reason. We can see, obviously, most recently was Lord Chaitanya. Now, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to spread the Sankirtan movement, to teach the Yuga Dharma. Because in every Yuga, the avatar appears to teach the Dharma, or the process of self-realization for that particular age. So it's explained that Lord Chaitanya had external reasons and internal reasons for appearing in the material realm. So one of those external reasons was to teach the Yuga Dham, the Harinam Sankirtan, to spread the chanting. And also the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance is, it's explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that he wanted to experience the rus, or the feeling that Radharani experiences in her love for Krishna, that Lord Krishna himself wanted to experience that love that Radharani has for him. And he wanted to also taste that love, wanted to actually experience that rasa for himself. So he appeared in the form of Lord Chaitanya to do this. And also to understand what is it that Radharani is attracted to me? What is it attractive about myself? So Lord Chaitanya appeared for that reason. So obviously when the Lord comes, there are external and internal reasons for doing that. And especially with Lord Chaitanya, we can understand both the external reason and the internal reasons for his appearance. So the external reason that he appeared to spread the holy names, to spread the Yugadam Harinam Sankirtan, then this is the mission that Lord Chaitanya has given the devotees of Kali Yuga, for those who take to the path of Krishna consciousness, and this is the mission that Lord Chaitanya has given us to fulfill. This is the will of the Lord that this Sankirtan is spread. So obviously Srila Prabhupada was the devotee who was empowered to do this all around the world. So through Srila Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then also we're able to partake in this pastime of Lord Chaitanya for spreading the Yugadam Harinam Sankirtan around the world. So very, very fortunate. And for those who do that, then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda like to reciprocate with the devotees who take that on as part of their life's mission. And we can see with so many great examples of devotees who are getting so much reciprocation from the Lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, because they've taken on this mission as their heart and soul. We can see with so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada, took on the mood of Srila Prabhupada, took on the mood and mission of Prabhupada, spreading this holy name and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all around the world. And so many great personalities are getting the mercy and getting the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and actually entire Paramparaya. And you can see a good example of that was with Bhakti Tedaswami. I've been reading his book recently, Black Lotus, which is all about the biography of Bhakti Teda Maharaj, from when he was a young boy through to when he became a devotee, through to when he became a great general of the spreading of the Sankirtan movement all around the world. So there's one pastime, some of you may have heard it, when Prabhupada was on his last visit to England. This was about, must have been 1977, and Prabhupada was very sick at the time, and he wanted to see the devotees for one last time, because he knew he would be ending his earthly pastime. So he went to the manor in England, and all the devotees from all around Europe came to see Srila Prabhupada. So hundreds of devotees there. And at that time, Bhakti Teda Maharaj, his name was Ghanashyam Prabhu. This is a name given to him by Srila Prabhupada. So when Ghanashyam came to the manor, Srila Prabhupada was informed that Ghanashyam Prabhu is here. And at that time, Ghanashyam had been preaching behind the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe. And so every week he was sending reports to Srila Prabhupada about his different adventures behind the Iron Curtain. If you read the book, there's so many wonderful stories about when he was preaching in universities, because at the time they would visit universities and would try to meet professors and tutors at universities and try and give them sets of Srila Prabhupada's books. And so one university he visited, just to give an example of sort of the intensity that was going on at the time, they went to one university and he met with one professor, went into one office, and the professor pretended he was not interested in the books, but said, "Oh, I know somebody who might like to see these books," and he sent him down to an office, said, "Oh, if you just go down to this office down the hallway there, there could be someone there who's interested in these books." So Ghanashyam Prabhu went down the hallway and went to the office and opened the door and walked in, and then realised he was actually in the security office, because at the time in communist Europe, at the time it was illegal to preach religion. In fact, you could be sent to a concentration camp for doing that. Now, you could be held in jail, hidden, you could be killed, so many things could happen. So Ghanashyam realised what had happened and then started making a run for it. And then as he's running, he was being chased after it. He managed to get away somehow at very intense times for the devotees who were preaching behind the Iron Curtain at the time. Same with Dave Merida Swami as well. He's got lots of wonderful stories about when he was preaching behind the Iron Curtain. But very, very intense. But Prabhupada did say for those who were preaching behind the Iron Curtain, then they would get the dust of his lotus feet. So some devotees were very anxious and eager for Prabhupada's mercy, took on that mission to preach behind the Iron Curtain. And Prabhupada said, for those who preach behind the Iron Curtain, those who preach in China, then they'll get his special mercy. So when Ganesham Prabhu came to visit the manor to see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada had been hearing all these wonderful reports about Ganesham's preaching behind the Iron Curtain. So out of all of the devotees who were there, Prabhupada asked to see Ganesham Prabhu. So Ganesham Prabhu came to see Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, upon seeing him, told him to come over to him, and then he embraced him and said to him that you are carrying on the parampara. So he got great mercy from Srila Prabhupada for taking on this mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So some many nice examples here of devotees who have taken on this external mission of Lord Chaitanya, of spreading the holy name, spreading the Sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they do like to reciprocate with the devotees. So we can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita so many nice sweet exchanges that Lord Chaitanya had with his associates before he'd actually gone out and started spreading the chanting around India. He would have intimate kirtans in his in Srivasa's place, Srivasangam. They have wonderful kirtans there together, and there's many nice descriptions of some of the ecstasies that Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were experiencing through the holy name. And they were in the kirtan, the kirtan would get to such an intense stage that they would start like floating, like levitating in the waves of the holy name in such ecstasy. And also, if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita all about the different bodily symptoms of ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya was experiencing through the holy name, like we can read in the Nectar of Devotion, it gives different descriptions of the different bhavas that the devotees experience, and one of those bhavas can manifest within the body. And so it's explained that Lord Chaitanya manifested symptoms that had never been seen before and will never ever be seen again because of his intensity of love of Godhead. Like it's explained that when he was in Puri, in some of his moods of ecstasy, his limbs would shrink into the rest of his body. So his arms and his legs would actually shrink into the torso. You couldn't see them. These are some of the ecstasies that Lord Chaitanya was experiencing in love of Godhead. And sometimes at Lord Chaitanya, he would, in ecstasy, would see sand dunes in Puri and would run towards them thinking that they were Govardhan Hill. This is his mood. He's completely in Vrindavan consciousness. Other times in ecstasy, he would pass out and would be in the ocean in Puri and would be swept out to the sea. You know, at one time when he was in this ecstasy, he was unconscious, floating in the water. A fisherman actually dragged him, picked him up in the net, and by touching the body of the Lord, he actually became overwhelmed with love of Godhead in ecstasy. And at the time, all of the devotees were trying to find where Lord Chaitanya had gone, and they were searching around for him, and then they came across this fisherman and who had gone completely mad. Just by touching the Lord, he'd become mad with love of Godhead, and he couldn't stop chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He wanted to stop, but he couldn't stop. So the devotees had realized, why have you become like this for? And the fisherman couldn't understand what was happening, and so the devotees realized that he'd come in contact with Lord Chaitanya. And I think Advaita Acharya said to him, don't worry, you've become overcome by a ghost, but I'm a great exorcist, so I'll relieve you of this ghost that is haunting you. Please take us to the place where the person you've come in contact with made you become like this. So the fisherman took all the devotees to Lord Chaitanya, and they found Lord Chaitanya lying in unconscious ecstasy. So this is the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, so he could experience these things, experience these flavours of rasa, of love of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya didn't just want to keep these things, but he wanted to share this love of God with everybody. He wanted to share this Krishna conscious ecstasy with everybody. So this is why he performed the Harinam Sankirtan and spread this all around India. In fact, when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is divided into three parts. There's the Adi Leela, the Madhya Leela, and the Ancha Leela. So the first Leela, the first is at the Adi Leela, that's all about Lord Chaitanya as a young boy up to the age of 24 before he took sannyas. And the Madhya Leela is when Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas and the next 6 years spends travelling all around India. And then the Antya Leela, the last Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is all about Lord Chaitanya's time in Puri. I think he spent something like 18 years in Jagannath Puri. So when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can see the different stages of Lord Chaitanya's journey through his beginning stages of being Nimai Pandit, right through to taking sannyas, through to experiencing the higher stages of devotional ecstasy when he resided within the Gambira, which is the room Lord Chaitanya stayed in when he was staying in Jagannath Puri. And you can visit this room still when you visit Puri, this Gambira, which is not too far from the Jagannath Mandir. And you can actually look into the room that Lord Chaitanya stayed within. And in that room, Lord Chaitanya was experiencing great ecstasy in the mood of separation. This Vipralamba Seva has explained that Lord Chaitanya's separation from Krishna was so intense, that feeling was so intense, that he would be scraping his head against the floor and the walls in the Gambira, and will be causing superficial wounds to himself. So you can actually visit this room when you go to Jagannath Puri, and you can meditate upon this mood of Lord Chaitanya's deep devotional ecstasy and feelings of separation from the Lord. So in Puri, there's many wonderful pastime places that you can visit, that where the Lord performed his pastimes. Of course, the famous deity in Puri is obviously the Tota Gopinath deity, which is explained that this is the deity that Lord Chaitanya actually ended his manifest pastimes into, merged into the form of Tota Gopinath deity. And this deity, obviously, is a famous story how this deity came about through Gadadhar Pandit. It explained that Lord Chaitanya pulled this, because Lord Chaitanya wanted Gadadhar Pandit to remain a Kshetra Sannyas, which means the sannyasi just stays in one teta the whole time. So Lord Chaitanya wanted Gadadhar Pandit to stay within Jagannath Puri. So Lord Chaitanya one time manifested this deity of Tota Gopinath, pulled it out from within the sand dunes and told Gadadhar Pandit to worship this form of the Lord. So many nice, wonderful pastimes with this deity of Tota Gopinath, very, very famous deity, a very significant one for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. At Gadadhar Pandit used to worship this deity and would offer garlands to it and would personally dress and bathe this form of the Lord. So when Gadadhar Pandit became a little bit older and his body wasn't able to serve the Lord as he was in his youth, he wasn't able to stand up and offer garlands. At one time he came to do his service and then found that this form of the Lord was sitting down, instead of standing, had sat down so that Gadadhar could render service to him. So you can visit this deity of Tota Gopinath now in Puri, and in the mornings they dress, when they dress, the pujaris are dressing Tota Gopinath, you can actually have darshan of the Lord. And it's explained that in his leg there's a small crack, and it's explained this is the crack that Lord Chaitanya merged into. So a very famous deity. Sometimes when you go there, he's actually got false legs, so it looks as though he's standing with these false legs, but actually he's sitting in the lotus position. So when they're dressing in the morning, you can actually see this Tota Gopinath deity sitting like this. So many wonderful places in Puri you can visit. Birthplace of Bhakti Sandar Sarasvati Thakur was also was in Puri. What else is there? The famous beach where Haridas Thakur, where his samadhi is. You can visit the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which is just across the road from the ISKCON facility in Jagannath Puri. So many wonderful places in Puri you can visit. Of course, Puri being famous for the Rath Yatra, which is held every year as well. I was just talking with Gandharva Kumaraji a couple of days back about her experience over there when she was in Puri, and she got some very wonderful reciprocation from the deities in Puri during the Rath Yatra festival, because during Rath Yatra, obviously there's millions and millions and millions of people there. Has anyone been to Puri before during Rath Yatra? But there's millions of people there, and Gandharvaka managed to actually embrace the form of Lady Subhadra and Lord Balaram. She was standing there. So she got some very, very wonderful mercy when she was over in Puri for the Ratha Yatra. So we can see this is how the Lord likes to reciprocate. Krishna was always reciprocating with devotees. In fact, I think when Dev Mrita Maharaj and some other sannyasis were there as well for the Ratha Yatra festival, I think even Krishna Graja might have been there as well, but they managed to embrace the form of Lord Jagannath as well. That Gandharvaka Mataji was saying that when she was having darshan Lord Balaram, the pujari was holding her head down to the feet of Lord Balaram. So Krishna is very merciful and likes to reciprocate with his devotees. Very, very merciful. So it was one of the themes from today's verses about Krishna, why Krishna appears for and how Krishna likes to reciprocate with his devotees. Krishna is reciprocating with everybody. And the different incarnations of the Lord all come with a different purpose or different mission when they appear in the material realm, whether it's to protect the devotees or whether it's to enliven the devotees with Krishna showing his Vrindavan pastimes, or with Lord Chaitanya to teach the Yuga Dharma. So many different avatars, all the different purpose, all the different mission. But the whole goal is to attract the living entities back to the spiritual realm and to bring them to a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there and ask if there's any questions or points on what we were talking about.
One comment is Alarana, if you go there.
In Puri?
Alarana. Lord Chaitanya lied down and the rock in which he was sleeping, it has melted, so you can see his dimension, 7 feet.
Mm. You've seen?
Yes.
You have been?
Yes.
Have you been into the Jagannath Mandir?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the Garuda Stamba?
Yes.
Did you see the handprint of Lord Chaitanya?
And the inside of
it. Yeah, you can see?
Inside.
Yeah, you saw?
Yes.
Very nice.
I couldn't
link
up my thing and I was wondering if you would explain it, please. You explained very well the avatars which descend, like Nirva Purusha and Guna and many more. And then there's the Lord in the original form, Swayam Bhagavan, who appears with Vrindavan, and he descends into the material world. What I can't understand is the Lord is always an eternal youth in Vrindavan, 16 years old. But when he comes to the holy dharma, then he is a baby. Now I can't quite understand that. And also, in Vrindavan, they're not meant to have any demons, like when baby Krishna feels, you know, the karma, kalyana, and more.
Hmm.
How come? You know, I can't understand.
Well, there's in the spiritual realm, it's Goloka Vrindavan. In the material, it's called Gokul. So in Gokul, there are certain pastimes that take place there that aren't necessarily manifest in Goloka Vrindavan. So with Krishna killing demons, that's a special pastime which is manifest in Gokul Vrindavan, or Bhumi Vrindavan, or which is Vrindavan manifest in the material realm. So those pastimes of killing demons, they're a special manifestation in the material, in this realm here. Yeah, and it's explained that in the spiritual realm, there is maybe rumours of there being demons, but they're not actually present there. Yeah.
Because the Lord can be 16, that's his original form. It's only trying to explain it to someone who can be ambitious. And how can he's a baby when he appears? That's also the
Swayam. That's part of his pastime. That's part of his Leela.
Part of the Leela.
Yeah, it's part of his pastime, Leela. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he appears as a child. Once again, mainly so he can reciprocate with his devotees who want to have that particular rus with him. Mm-hmm. Like with Mother Yashoda and Devaki, they want to have that particular relationship with the Lord, so he's reciprocating with them. So when you understand from that perspective that Krishna is reciprocating out of love with his devotees, that the devotee has a desire to serve the Lord in a particular way, so Krishna is reciprocating with that desire. So it's all based on desire. If you wish to serve the Lord in that mood parental ras, vasalya, then Krishna will reciprocate with that. If you want to serve the Lord in conjugal ras, he will reciprocate with that as well. But you have to be qualified to do that.
Does that mean Goloka Vrindavan is Krishna? It's not manifest as Lord Ramana or as a small baby like
In Goloka Vrindavan, depending on pastimes, like in the spiritual realm, there's like a lotus flower, and different petals in that lotus flower would play different places that Krishna can form as different pastimes. So according to what Krishna wants to do for a pastime, he can manifest there. But I've also heard it explained too that in Goloka Vrindavan, he's just as a 16-year-old youth, just enjoying the rasa dance there. And in the Gokul Vrindavan, that's where he's manifesting those baby childhood pastimes. So in Goloka Vrindavan, he's just as a 16-year-old youth and enacting those pastimes there. Yeah. So some pastimes that are in Bhumi Vrindavan are very, very special. They aren't necessarily just manifesting in Goloka Vrindavan. Because yeah. In Goloka Vrindavan, he's just a 16-year-old youth and enjoying the rasa dance and doing all these things.
But other pundits stopped eating, and the separation became so weak that he was not able to do that.
Mm.
Is that what Prabhupada says?
I'd have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure off the top of my head. Yeah. You have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Have you read it? You have the whole thing? No. No? Okay.
What was the story?
I was just making a comment that that Gadadhara pundit wasn't serving the deity of Tati Gopinath because he was feeling so much separation from the Lord that he stopped rendering service to him, not just because he couldn't put a gown on the Lord anymore. He wasn't putting the gown on because he was emaciated. Yeah.
Well, that's why the duty is set down.
Yeah, wasn't able to physically do it.
Whatever reason, he sat down.
Yeah. Any more questions or points at all? Pandra Shima Bhagavatam Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki.